On this gorgeous December the 6th day of 2015, we are here to praise God and love the universe and adore and cherish our brother Yeshua and receive in love the Holy Spirit and all that has been given to us in this marvelous potential of becoming loving, becoming more enlightened, more compassionate, more whole and healed, and more in love with one another. And so it's in that spirit that I open this call today. And I'm going to be looking around for a few minutes to see if anyone wants to ask for a personal blessing, a blessing for a friend, a loved one, anything that you would like to say for the season. And I dedicate these first few moments of our call to you because you, our community, you're why we do the blessings. For me, I could sit in the garden like I was, having a wonderful time with Yeshua, speaking to God and the birds, and just bathing in the sun and the cool breezes of the day. But it's for coming together, as Jesus said. And Jesus and Yeshua are just different names for the same person. As most of you know, I happen to prefer Yeshua because that was his name when he walked on the earth. And Jesus as a name came about 1,200 years later. So I'm just partial to the name Yeshua, but we praise Jesus no less because his name in all its forms is wonderful. It's glorious. It's beautiful, and it especially strikes our heart in this time of approach to Christmas. So I don't see anybody coming on to talk. Wow. Gee, you must want me to do all the talking today. And, you know, I'm always glad to do that, but I sure don't want to leave anybody out who has something to say, who wants to connect, because it's part of us. It's part of all of us being who we are and expressing our love one to another. But if you insist, we're just, I tell people that we're not actually going to start the message till 3:15, so I'm a little reluctant to move into the message too soon, because then someone will say, oh, but you started the message without me. And I'll have to say, oh, but it's recorded. And, of course, as all of you know, our messages are recorded. So while I'm on, I'm the person who's on. Let me do say one thing. You know, I don't use these calls for commercial purposes. And this isn't intended in that sense. I just wanted to let anyone know who wanted to purchase a framed Lamb and Lion G. Clay for Christmas. We only have one left. So that's something that you might want to know. And we only have one left of the framed Yeshua for Christmas. Normally, we do not provide or offer framed G. Clays because that requires a workshop and a specialized staff that we just don't feel that we can justify at this point in time. So we don't do that. But toward Christmas, we make special exceptions because we know how expensive frames can be, and we don't want someone to buy a frame expecting to have it on their wall before Christmas and then not be able to get it and have sticker shock when they do. So it's really for you that we provide that. And I see that Suzanne is on the line. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Glenda. I have a question. Well, I'll preface this with the fact that as a blessing giver, I have been so blessed myself, and I feel kind of selfish about that, but I've just been so blessed to be a blessing giver, and I don't know what benefit it is for anybody else, but I've recently come into the position of being kind of a confidant for several people in my life who are going through a really hard time. And I'm struggling with, my heart just aches. But I don't know what to say. I just want so much to make it better or promise that it'll be better when I can't. That's not my call. And so I don't know what to say. What do you say to people dying of cancer and people, my sister whose son is, the doctor just stood there right in front of him and said, you need to let him go. He needs to die. And so what do you say to people who are crying on your shoulder like that?
Oh, my gosh. You know, Suzanne, there are no words you can speak because words come from the lower realm. Well, not the low. I don't mean to demean it, but it comes from the realm of language and social connections in the world we share on this earth. And in the world we share on this earth, there are heartaches. There are losses. We have pain. We have grief. And we have sorrow. We don't have to suffer, however. And let me express the difference between pain and suffering, because I think that may help you. This is something that Yeshua also had to deal with. In one phrase on the in the New Testament, he said, you know, you will always have the poor with you, but celebrate my presence while I'm here. And he didn't mean that as an egotistical statement. There was no ego in him. The reason he said that is because what he brought to the earth was a higher plane on which to live. And on that higher plane, we can transition from pain, which is inevitable from time to time, out of it into a place where at least we don't suffer and we don't grieve. In Love Without End, in The Blessed Life, he talks about the difference between mourning and grieving. And I think that explains what I'm trying to say also, because we mourn naturally. Yeshua did on several occasions. He wept. We mourn, and mourning is the expression of emotion we feel, which is only natural at the loss of someone or something that's been deeply part of our life when we have to let it go. But grieving is how we try to hang on to the loss, and we think if we just grieve enough and we hang on to the loss long enough, we can perpetuate some thread of connection. Does that make sense, Suzanne?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's what we also do in the difference between pain and suffering. We feel if we can just suffer enough, then we can justify why we had to experience the pain, why we had to experience the loss, and somehow reverse it. People are suffering trying to reverse their losses. They think that it was their fault or their problem. They feel guilty, they feel helpless, wounded, and weak, and just impotent to do something about a condition of life. And so they suffer thinking, if I suffer enough, I'll be able to make it all okay. And what you have to know, and Yeshua has taught us, is that suffering doesn't make anything okay. We all will have pain. We all will have loss. And a lot of it we can't do anything about. But we can be a shoulder to cry on. We can join our loved ones in compassion, in a state of love. And there is something amazing, really, truly amazing that happens when we learn, and this is something I hope all of our blessing givers will learn as they offer the blessing every time, that as we grow into compassion, That means to feel with, where we can be joined with others as they feel their losses, even though we can't reverse them, even though it's not our job to reverse them. As we join them, the love of God that joins us all washes away the sorrow. It washes away whatever shortcomings or sin or guilt that people feel in their sorrow. It washes it away. This is what Yeshua did on the cross. And this is the real secret that people say when he saved us from our sins. Well, the answer to that is yes and no. He didn't alter our need or change our need to be continually vigilant about leading a worthy life that is honorable, filled with love and grace and charity toward others. He didn't say, okay, it's a free for all now. You're all signed off. He didn't do that. That's not what it was. See, there's a great secret here. There's a great, great secret. And here's, it was expressed and personified by the thief that hung beside him on the cross. He looked over at Yeshua and he said to Yeshua, you do not deserve to be here. I do. You are the king. You see, what happened is he saw Yeshua for who he was. He saw the love and became part of the love. And Yeshua's response was, and you will be with me in paradise today. He didn't take away from the thief the eventual need in some point of existence to pay for his crime, but he removed completely the thief's need to suffer for what he did. He removed the suffering. He took him to paradise. And when we know Yeshua, his compassion, his love for us is so great, he relieves the suffering. And for many people, relieving the suffering is all it takes to completely produce the healing, or to completely wash away sins that really weren't sins at all. They were just perceived transgressions because of judgments other people held about them. And I think you know what I'm talking about. But sometimes we're guilty of things because people say we're guilty of things, and then we comply with their judgments, and then we feel worse and worse and worse. And sometimes all of that is just washed away by this level of compassion and this blessing. Now, if there were real crimes that caused harm and hurt to others, eventually we have to pay for them. It's just like any form of debt. But we can ask God to give us the grace to do that. We can ask God for the resources and the wisdom and the forbearance to move out of these places of debt, just as Yeshua said, to forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And part of the secret is to forgive those that we're holding a debt on. Sometimes we can just move out of it for that. But all of this, Suzanne, everything I've said, points toward moving to a higher level of energy where there is more harmony, more grace, more love between our fellow man, more love of God to be given to God by us, more love of God given by God to us. As we move to a higher level of consciousness and love, we take others with us. And we take them beyond their suffering. Now, whether this changes the material side of their life is really between them and God, between them and their destiny. But we know that nothing on this physical earth is permanent. Nothing. That includes successes. It also includes losses. It includes pain. It includes grief. It includes feelings of inadequacy for things we wanted to accomplish and couldn't. Nothing is permanent on this level, this physical level of existence. It's like a sandcastle by the ocean. When the waves come in, they wash it away. Nothing is left here. And we all, through the grace of God, move to paradise. So give her the heart to know that this shall pass. The son shall be greeted in paradise. The loved one shall be embraced by the angels. And when you speak these words, know them to be true. This is the greatest gift you can give anyone, and that is truth revealed. Really, mark these words. This was given to me by Yeshua this week when I was in a very high communion with him. And I asked him again, because someone had asked me, how can you always remember what he told you? And I said, Yeshua, was it because I was in an altered state? And he said that was part of it. But he said the greater part of it is this. When truth is revealed, it's never forgotten. As God revealed truth to the prophets, it became true on earth and was written as the Word of God. As truth was revealed through me to the apostles, it was lived and taught and eventually written and has become the gospel. As truth is revealed, not just to holy men and holy women, but as truth is revealed to great scientists like Albert Einstein, it changes the world. And nothing ever changes the truth. The greatest gift you can give anyone is the gift of truth revealed. So, Suzanne, if you feel in the offering of your love and the offering of the blessing that you are revealing the truth of your friend's eternal immortality and eternal survival of these ordeals, that truth will heal them. It may not heal their body, but it will heal their suffering, and it will heal their soul, and their soul will go on to live and live immortally and be rejoined one to another. And so thank you for asking that question, because it became the way I could then speak these words, these beautiful words of Yeshua. And do you feel helped?
Yes, thank you. It was a big help. Thank you.
Great. And I want to thank Suzanne for speaking up as a blessing giver. I hear from people all the time about what a blessing it has been to be a blessing giver. And they don't know how far their works reach. But I will tell you this, that the works of God have no end. And it's not always meant for us to see the eventual results of the works of God. To this point in time, we have sold. Well, I really should not use the word sold, because for the most part, it's been distributed. In many cases, we have received little or no monetary return. But there are now printed and distributed over 1 million books of Love Without End to the world. And I am constantly amazed when every now and then I'll receive an email from someone who may be in Yugoslavia or Saudi Arabia or India. I got a letter just yesterday from South Africa and from, let's see, where was one? I received one from Japan and lots of them from Canada, one from Brazil. People I've never met, probably never will meet personally, but they tell me how their lives have been changed forever. And they're not crediting me with doing that. They've got the greater wisdom to know that their lives were changed by the words of truth spoken by Yeshua, that I was then able to put into the written word that could be sent through a printing press and distributed to the world. Of course, now we have e-books. And that helps a lot because shipping can be really expensive when you get to the global level on shipping. But I'm so happy to know this Christmas that we've reached so many people with the loving words of Yeshua and that it's touched them. Now we have, on top of that, we have over 300 blessing givers all around the world offering blessings. And what are they doing? So you might want to ask, and I think this is a good time to mention that. So some things, even the, or I should say perhaps the highest truth, cannot be put into words, because it comes from the level where God lives, in perfect love, perfect illumination, the perfect energy of harmonious creation and wholeness. How can you put that into words? Well, you really can't. God distributes that energy through all of creation in different levels of condensation, different patterns of distribution, just like is described in the adamantine particles, how from the original particle that creates its own energy because it's a particle in the body of God, it coordinates with other adamantine particles that then become the basic created particle. Now, the word created is very significant because it's on a timeline. You notice the past tense to it. In other words, something created it. Now, it's the recipient of energy. It combines with other particles that are the recipient of energy to form little nucleus, a little nuclei of energy potentials that then eventually condense into atomic configurations and those into molecular configurations and so on. And this is the way it is with not just the body of God condensing on a physical level. You might combine that, compare that to the way the gases of hydrogen and oxygen are just gases at one level, and then they condense into mist that condenses into clouds, that condenses into rain, down to the earth, and if it's in the north country or the cold country of the year, into ice. And then it can melt and become water, flowing in the oceans and the rivers. And so we see how basic potential can live on many condensation levels. Once it has arrived at the physical condensation level, whether it's ice or earth or mountains or trees or rocks, bricks or mortar or automobiles or pavement, well, the particles don't move so easily. They're in a very fixed configuration. And we think because those particles can't move, that we can't move things around. But what we forget and what we don't realize is that anything on this earth, no matter how solid it is, was once, before it condensed, was once pure energy on a higher level. And on that higher level, anything can be moved around, including the Himalayas, the Himalaya Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the oceans, the great land masses. Anything can be moved around, including illnesses that we have or inequities we feel. What it takes, though, if we compare our life to water and ice and mist and rain and the gases that comprise the water and the ice, we have to move to a higher level of energy where they can be moved around at that level. Now, that's what Yeshua was talking about when he said, by your faith, you shall be made whole. When we offer a blessing from the Holy Spirit through Yeshua, through and to your Sacred Heart, from God Almighty, we're lifting you up to a level where things can be moved around more easily with less resistance, where you don't have to break something. In other words, you don't have to break eggs to make an omelet. You don't have to break something to make something else. You're at a level where through your faith, you literally move the mountain. Yeshua said to the apostles, if you have so much faith as this, you can move, you can say to the mountain, come, and it will come. And there was no question in my mind that he was demonstrating to them exactly what faith looked like. I'm sure he had them in a very highly elevated state. I know from just his appearance to me, I was different between the time I was with him and the time I was not with him. I was more solid when I was not with him. When I was not with him, I was just like anybody else who, if I walked into a wall, I would bump my head. But when I was with him and I painted, I can't say I walked through walls because I didn't try to. I had too much respect for him to treat him like my toy, my magician, my sensei. I didn't regard him as someone who had come to play the miracle game with me. I was more reverent than that. To him, he was virtually the presence of God with me. I didn't even touch him. I didn't try to touch him. But things around me were very different. The paint dried every day. And it usually takes 3 days for oil paint to dry. All kinds of miracles would happen. Like paint that would, normally I'd have to order, special order, would show up at the paint store out of the blue, and even the store owner would be surprised that it was there. He literally moved the mountain because that's where he was. And I respected the fact that he was there, and it was okay that I was where I was, but I was definitely in a heightened state. There's no question about that. And then between us, the words he spoke were so much the words of truth. I could never forget them. And that's the way it is. When you hear something that you know is the truth, and it is truth revealed for you. It is that for you forever and ever. And we are holding for you that truth right now in the blessings we offer through Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Almighty, that you will receive this for yourself and be one with yourself in this timeless, timeless moment. And with that, I'm going to actually start the blessing. I would ask you to be seated quietly, your head uncovered, or at least covered, if that's your belief, with something natural. Nothing synthetic, please. Silk, cotton, wool. Your feet uncovered or covered with something natural, because we are conducting the perfect and whole energy of God, which includes the earth. It includes the heavens. It includes all that is. And let it flow without interruption through you, and most especially through your heart. Allow yourself to drop your attention from all things of the world and just be inside your heart with your prayer. Pray a prayer of compassion if your heart is taken to the troubles or the griefs of others. Pray with faith in all things, and most especially for all things that you would desire for yourself. And allow the blessing to take you to a place where you see through your faith that it is done. And hold to the revelation of it being done, no matter how much illusions of the world would try to cancel or undo that perception of truth. Be quiet and receive, and allow the miracle to happen in you and through you. And don't worry about the consequences. We can't always see how the miracles of God come through us and then work their way out to others. We can't worry about those things. We just simply give of ourselves, our life, our love, and allow his blessings to pour through us. I will begin with a prayer to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers will join me in offering his perfect blessing. Let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, brother of man and woman, all people, all life walking upon the earth, the one who came to live as an incarnate one, knowing the illusions we suffer through on our way to discovering the perfect truth. Allow us in this blessing to release the illusions that bind us, that we may hold for if only a moment the perfect truth of our being, the perfect truth of your being, the gift of your love, the promise and the grace of God, the one, the wholeness of all it is, the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us like a river washing away debris that has accumulated on the cells of our body, on the walls of our thought, even on the barriers we have put on our heart. Let the Holy Spirit wash away all things that impede the love of Christ and the grace of God. And with these things, we simply surrender into your holy presence. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is now complete. It's time for you to surrender into it and receive all that has been given. So lie down. Lie down on your sofa or in your bed where you can be completely in repose and just absorb and receive. Be in gratitude, in joy, surrender and renewal. And I wish you a very, very happy week. God be with you. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.